Welcome in to our Live at 5 sermon series. We're continuing, you know, we began this series, well, really when this pandemic began, and we are going to continue the Live at 5 series, at least for a little while longer, and I'm glad that you're here. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to Acts chapter 22 and the 4th verse. That's where we will be beginning. In fact, we're going to spend probably 90%+ of our lesson here this evening within the book of Acts. And what I want us to look at, we are continuing. In fact, this is number 3. We began 3 weeks ago a series looking and examining the invitation song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And so tonight, I want us to look at the 3rd verse. Well, it may not be the 3rd verse in the copy of your songbook, but a 3rd verse, I should say, of the song that we often sing, My Cross I'll Carry Until I See Jesus. Now, we see more with this verse that the person that is should be talking in the song has already put on Christ in baptism, so that would be a prerequisite action. But we want us to examine the idea, the principle behind carrying our cross until we see Jesus. And I find, probably as we examine this topic, just because we have so much of his life recorded for us, it would be best if we look at the Apostle Paul here this evening. So there are 3 points of the life of Paul, the apostle, who was Saul the persecutor, I want us to examine here tonight as we're continuing our study of My Cross I'll Carry Till I See Jesus. So first and foremost, as we're looking at this song and we're comparing it to the life of Paul, and by thus making an application to our lives, number one, Paul had a life to live. He had a life that he had to live. Brethren, we all have a life to live, but the question is, what will we do with our lives? Will we be profitable in God's kingdom with our life, or will we just be so-so and unprofitable? Go with me to Acts chapter 22 and verse number 4. As our lesson text we pointed out, we should be there already. I want us to look at what Paul confessed. This is what Paul said, I did these things. Watch. Paul said, I persecuted this way. What is this way? Talking about those who are Christians. Here Paul is giving a defense of his life. And he is saying, I persecuted the very cause of which I am now pleading for you to obey, for you to listen. He said, and I delivered into prison both men and women. Now we see Paul thought he was doing right. Paul is not glorifying the fact of how awful of a life he lived, but Paul is saying, look, I did this, and now I have to, as we would say today, live with my past, but work towards heaven. Well, let's go back and see, because what Paul says, Paul thought he was doing. Paul thought what he was doing was the right thing to be doing. Acts chapter 8 and the first 4 verses, Luke records for us, Saul was consenting to his death. Who's his? Go back to chapter 7. That would be Stephen, the great servant in the first century of the Lord's church. That would be Stephen, who the crowd has stoned. And as they are stoning him, they put, verse 58 of chapter 7, there's a young man named Saul, and they let Saul hold the coats of the men who were throwing. Because, be honest, if you wanted me to throw a baseball, I would probably take this suit jacket off just so my shoulder could have a little more mobility. Well, as they are preparing to stone Stephen, they need to get rid of their coats, and so they give it to Paul. He was consenting to his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, because they stayed behind. And devout men carried Stephen out to his burial, and they made great lamentation. They cried and they wept over him. But Saul, he made havoc of the church. He entered into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So we see that Saul, as he was known then, that would have been, oh, well, that's his Hebrew name, is Saul. He was persecuting the church. And so all that are not apostles, they leave. But what I like in verse 4 is as they left, they took the gospel with them. The gospel did not stay in Jerusalem. But go over with me in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, because God knew that Saul was sincere. And so he comes to Saul. And Saul is breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He goes to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to go to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, same way, Christians, whether they're men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. God knew. Saul was sincere. Saul thought he was doing what was right, but he quickly, here in this chapter, learns he was wrong. So Saul asked a question. And because in verse 4 it says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" You know, when Saul questions that, I'm reminded of the passage in the book of Revelation. Because when John writes Revelation, he says that all who hit Jesus will have their names called. Here, God says, "Saul, Saul." He says his name twice. He's wanting importance on this. He said, "Why persecutest thou me?" But here's something interesting. Drop down to verse 9. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand. And they went into Damascus. Why do they go in Damascus? Watch this. Paul was not saved on the road to Damascus. There are people in the world who will teach and who will believe that God on the road to Damascus saved Saul from his sins. But that's not what the Bible tells me. And it's not what it tells you. Why? Because he had to go find Ananias. Because he was told, "Arise," verse 6, "and go into the city. And it will be told to thee what thou must do." He was not saved on that road to Damascus. Because if he's saved, why in the world does he have to go find Ananias? He had to go. Brethren, I want you to notice something. Paul had a life to live. He had to live with these memories of that life that he once lived. And so do we. Nobody's perfect. Now, I'd like to think that the majority of us, maybe our background is not as salted and peppered like Paul's was. But we still sin and come short of the glory of God. And sin is sin in God's eyes, no matter how big, no matter how small. So Saul had a life to live. Brethren, as we are singing the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And as we are saying, "My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus." Brethren, we have a life to live. My question for you as we move to our second point is, how are you living your life? Secondly, though, we see that we all have a cross to bear. Saul had a cross to bear. Keep going here in Acts chapter 9. We see in verse 10 that the Lord appears to a certain disciple named Ananias. In a vision, he says, "Ananias," he says, "Behold, Lord, here I am." He said, "Arise, go to the straight street, and inquire of the house of Judas for a man, his name is Saul of Tarsus. He's seen in a vision that you're going to come for him." And Ananias said, "I have heard by many of what this man has done, and how much evil he has done. And here he has authority to bind those that call upon my name. But the Lord said," watch verse 15, "go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how for my name's sake he must suffer great things." In verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered the house of Judas, put his hand upon him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. He sent me that you might receive your sight and also be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, when he says, "Brother Saul," the people who will claim that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, they'll say, "Well, if he wasn't saved, then why does Ananias call him Brother Saul?" Well, they're brothers in the sense that they are both Jewish people. Just be like, if you and I are from the same town, we might call each other brother, and we may not be both brothers in Christ. It's the same idea here. They're both Jewish people. But notice, he is a chosen vessel, and he must suffer great things. Brethren, as long as we're on this earth, I want you to think about something. We'll never have the home court advantage. You think about the world of sports. I know it seems like not a lot of that's been going on these days lately, and I'm not a sports guy to really just sit and talk sports. But watch this. In golf, you want to know the course you're playing before you get there. In basketball, you want to know the floor. Maybe you say, well, if I get over here in this corner, the lights are just a little too bright. In football, you want to know the field. The field, you want to know the layout. You want to know how it sounds, maybe how it smells. In racing, you want to know every twist and every turn. NASCAR, it's real easy. But you think about those people that do the Indy 500 where their tracks go all over the place. Brethren, you want to know the home court so you can have the home court advantage. It seems so much better when you beat your rival at home than on... Well, it seems good when you beat them on the road, but you love beating them at home because that's your territory. Well, brethren, this world is not your home course. We don't have the home court advantage here on this earth. We sing a song so frequently, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Brethren, the Bible calls us strangers, pilgrims, foreigners. This world is not our home. I say that as you're watching this in your earthly home. More likely than not. But you will not live here forever. I love my house. I love it. We've done things to it already. We've got some plans for some more things. And I love it. And it is my castle. And it's where I go to get away from the world. But I'd trade it all in a heartbeat to be already in that heavenly home. Brethren, we don't have the home court advantage here. We're on the offense. And we must stay on the offense. And there are certain things that Paul had to bear. He had to bear his cross. He had to bear the memories. Just like here, Ananias says, I've heard of what he's trying to do. He had to bear with the fact that all of his former friends now hate him. He has to deal with the fact of evangelizing in some of these areas that he sent death orders to not too long ago. Some of these things we might have to bear as well. Maybe when you obey the gospel, maybe that group of friends that you used to run around with, maybe they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore based on the simple fact that you're now a Christian. Or maybe at lunch, those people you sit, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whatever, because they know you're a Christian, and because they know you love the Lord and you go to church and you're trying to live righteously and live rightly, they may not want to associate with you anymore. So be it. You may have family members laugh at you. People that you thought would never turn your back on you, they'll turn your back on you once they find out you're a Christian because they don't want any part of this and they don't know what they're missing. Brethren, some things Paul had to bear. Brethren, we're told we need to bear a cross. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have to live here in this earth, in this earthly body. But friends, it's no longer an earthly body living out the desires of Justin Reeder. It shouldn't be, and if it is, it needs to change. Because we're living for Christ. Paul said he had a cross to bear. Brethren, we do as well. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. Hold your place there in Acts, because we're coming right back to the 22nd chapter. But look at a few things here in Philippians, the first chapter, with me, if you will. Paul says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He says, "If I live in the flesh, then this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two." Paul says, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ," he says, "and that's far better than here. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh," he says, "is more needful for you." He says, "And knowing this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by the coming to you again." Paul says, "For me to live is Christ," because Christ is benefiting greatly, Paul says, "when I'm here on this earth, because I'm out preaching and teaching and trying to win souls for him." He said, "But I would rather die, because that's gain for me." He says, "I would rather leave, but you need me here, so I'm going to stay here for the time being." Brethren, Paul had a cross to bear. Can you make the statement that he says there, Galatians 2:20, can you make the statement he says there, Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain"? Brethren, if you cannot, you need to change things in your life where you can make that statement and it would be true. "My cross I'll carry until I see Jesus." Brethren, we all have a cross to bear. But lastly, we see when we're examining the life of Paul and cross-referencing that with the life or with the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Thirdly, Paul had a decision he had to make. Go with me to the 22nd chapter of Acts. The conversion of Paul that happens in the 9th chapter. He retells it in the 26th chapter. He re-retells it in the 22nd and 26th chapter is the second time he tells it. He's told by Ananias he has a decision to make. Acts 22:12 and following. "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, stood, and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." So Saul, at this time, Paul now is saying, "This is what Ananias said to me." But notice verse 16, the crux of it. "And now," Ananias speaking, "why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Tarriest. Why tarriest thou? In other words, Ananias says, "Saul, you know what to do in order to be pleasing to God." And then in my mind, he kind of leans over and says, "And why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Because you're not right currently, but you know how to make it right. Why are you putting it off?" Now, there will be people who say, "All you have to do is raise your hands in the air and wave them and call out, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, come into my heart." But that's not what calling on the Lord means. Because look, he says, "You're going to arise and be baptized. And when you're baptized, that will wash away your sins." And by doing all this, Ananias says, that's calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, that's submitting. That's being obedient to what God has commanded. That's what calling on the name of the Lord means. You'll also meet some people in the world today who will say something to the effect of, "Yeah, but I can just pray and have my sins forgiven and be right with God." Well, I tell you what, if there was ever a man in the Bible who could have just prayed, it would have been Paul. Because the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And in fact, the Bible says he prayed for 3 days. And Ananias didn't pick him up and said, "Now you can see, congratulations, you've accepted Jesus into your heart." No, 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 my friends. He says, "Why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now today, many people are like Saul. I have had handfuls of conversations with good men and women. And we'll start talking about the state of their soul. And I've had some go so far as to tell me Not what Justin Reed says to do, but God's plan of salvation. And then I feel like I'm Ananias and I say, well, why are you waiting? And then they won't give me an answer. Why are you waiting? And now, why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Brethren, everything, we have everything we need. Now, normally when I make that statement, there's a baptismal pool behind me. As you can see, there's not, but we still have water. It doesn't have to be in a baptismal pool. I baptize people in baptistries. I've done it in creeks. I've seen it done in swimming pools. All you need is water. Hot tubs, you need water. The water's not necessarily the specific part. It can be any water. It's the act. You need to have somebody to immerse you because you can't immerse yourself. You need to have somebody witness it. And guess what we also have? We have people who need baptism. Now, I've seen religious groups, and I use that phrase lightly, who will have a big festival. And they'll have a website you can go to, a phone number you can call, or a card to mail in and say, sign up. We're going to have a baptism in 2 weeks from now. We want as many people. But brethren, that's not what we see in the Bible. Saul immediately was baptized. The jailer straightway the same hour of the night. Everybody we see in the New Testament that was baptized for the remission of their sins, they did it immediately, the same hour, as soon as they could get to water. Brethren, today, everything is ready. All things are ready, we often sing. Come to the feast. We're just waiting on the erring sinner to respond. Saul had a decision to make. Would he continue to live the life as Saul? Or would he submit to what he knows is right? What has been shown to him, proven to him to be the truth? Submit, die to self, live for Christ. The choice he had to make, brethren, is the same choice that everyone has to make. Now, we're not baptized on a daily basis. We die to self every day. But we do carry our cross daily. Paul had a decision to make. As we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. Brethren, Paul had a cross that he had to carry. And so do we. Are you carrying your cross or did you toss it to the side years ago, maybe? Don't do that. Brethren, Jesus Christ says in Matthew 16:24, he talks about counting the cost. He says, if any man will follow me or come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. But I like the way that Luke defines it, or records it, I should say, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, because Luke adds the word daily, where Jesus Christ says, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. What does that mean, brethren? That means on the good days and the bad days and the in-between days. That's when we must carry our cross. Are there some days in our lives where it seems it's easier to live for Christ? Well, it might be, depending on who's pestering you, or I guess I should say how Satan is using other things to pester you. You may be having the best day of your life today, and I hope that you are. But you still need to carry your cross. You also may be having, you probably won't be both, or I should say, you may be having the worst day of your life, but you still need to carry your cross. Notice the end of that, the end of the verse. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. Are you going to carry that cross until you see him? Because I hate to break it to you, you hadn't seen him yet. Which means you don't have liberty to quit carrying that cross. I don't have that liberty. No one does. Why? Because we haven't made it there yet. That means we must carry our cross each and every day that ends in Y, which is all of them, until we see Jesus. He had a cross to carry. He had a life to live. He had a decision to make. Now's the time when we would normally offer the invitation. It's hard to in this video setting. But if you're not right, if you've not obeyed the gospel, please contact us. We would love to assist you either. I'd love to meet you wherever you are or maybe put you in contact with somebody closer to you. Please just let us know. Reach out to us. Also, if you would like a copy of these notes, not only the ones here in this lesson, but the entirety of this series, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, they're available on my website for free at absolutely no cost to you because I don't charge for things like that. I want these in your hands if they'll help you study. Go to my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources, or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible, R-E-E-D is how you spell Reed, the only correct way to spell it. It's the biblical way. Anyways, you just click on Bible resources, scroll down to the sermon section, and in the right column, you'll see the series, For I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. The PDF sermon's there, and the PowerPoint format is there as well. Would love to put these in your hands. I don't have the final slide done yet, but I can tell you what we're going to do. If the Lord wills, on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. We've been kind of leading up to that for the last handful of weeks on Wednesday nights in our Bible study. So that will happen at 6:30. At 6:30 Wednesday night, we will study that. And then if the Lord permits, we will resume our Thursday night Bible studies with my father-in-law, Bill Boyd. Looking forward to getting back in the swing of that. Had to take a little break for a handful of different reasons. But we are going to be continuing our study in Matthew 20. So I hope you can join us Wednesday night, 6:30. Thursday night, 6:30. It's live Central Standard Time if you're not watching this in real time. And then, of course, Sunday mornings at 11 there at the building at the Wood Church of Christ. Once again, thank you for being a part of this video. I hope it has been beneficial. I hope you have learned a lot from it. Please share this with others so that others can realize that they must carry their cross until they see Jesus as well. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.